Good morning. My name is Michael, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the third quarter 2009 Semiconductor Manufacturing Forecast Update. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Dean Freeman, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Good morning, and welcome to our third quarter manufacturing forecast call. I'm Dean Freeman, and I'll be your host this morning. If you do not have a copy of the slides and are not logged into the webcast, you can get a copy by contacting becky.tonneson@gartner.com. That's becky.tonneson@gartner.com. This morning we will be updating you on Gartner's outlook regarding the semiconductor capital equipment market. So let's get started. The key question for this forecast is, has the industry growth returned and is it sustainable going forward? Secondary question is, then what is the impact on semiconductor equipment manufacturers? With me on the call to assist me with these questions are, first, Peter Middleton, who will deal with the semiconductor space, Bob Johnson, who will discuss CapEx and wafer fab equipment, Kayang Tain, our foundry expert, and Mark Stromberg, who will then conclude with SATs and the back-end equipment. With that, let me move forward, and we'll start the discussion addressing the key questions of where are we and what's going on with the macroeconomic outlook. Overall, the worldwide macroeconomic outlook is improving nicely. China, Japan, and parts of Europe had a strong second quarter and positive GDP growth. China, mostly as a result of the stimulus package, helped to drive support for PCs, 3G, and flat panel displays. Japan and Germany's growth was a nice surprise, as it was a bit unexpected. The United States' largest consumer is seeing improvement also as a result of the incentives. However, with consumer sentiment weak and spending is typically two steps forward and one step back, and there's still areas of weakness. Economists are issuing warning signs, feeling that the economy might be getting ahead of itself. High unemployment, which is still rising, still has some economists concerned that the increasing consumer debt may have a negative impact on financial markets. Commercial debt is also starting to come due, and since buildings are not occupied and there's no rent being paid, builders are turning the keys back over to banks, thus impacting their bottom lines. Back-to-school sales are currently below expectations. The Wall Street Journal reported this last week that year-over-year sales are down about 4% from last August. Thus, it remains to be seen that if the current inventory buildup might exceed the demand at year-end spending. The current holiday spending season has some economists holding their breath, as consumers are saving more and spending less, and only spending on critical items. Will the sales materialize? It is possible we may see some incentives, such as was seen in China, on electronics goods. If these emerge, then the potential for short-term growth could be strong, thus helping to alleviate problems. As we look at our forecast growth scorecard, we can see that growth is improving in most economic areas, as the GDP has risen from our last report. The rising GDP will have a positive impact on electronic equipment and semiconductor demand. However, the first half of 2009, the results are pretty much have been determined that all segments of the scorecard will see negative growth. However, 2010 will see a nice rebound. Electronic equipment sees a 4.1% growth, helping to drive semiconductors and semiconductor equipment. Foundries and SATs are rebounding quickly and helping to lead the recovery. Capital spending and equipment spending declined a bit further than expected in the second quarter. This is due to the complete lack of spending in the first half. As a result, spending must accelerate rapidly in the second half of the year to meet the expected 48% decline for 2009. Depending on when equipment is accepted by the user, this could shift wafer fab equipment growth either into 2009 or out into 2010. We expect 2010 will see strong growth as a result of the poor spending in 2009. Also, with the need to start the ramp for leading-edge technology at 32 and 28 nanometer, this will help drive the first half of 2010. Capacity buys are anticipated to start in the second half of 2010, which should lead us into a nice, strong 3 years of growth. With the summary over, now I'd like to turn the talk over to Peter Middleton, to discuss the latest developments in the semiconductor market. Peter?
Thanks, Dean. I'll now go through the updates we made during our Q3 semiconductor forecast process. The second quarter financial results reported by vendors significantly exceeded their guidance, most notably Intel, Qualcomm, and Samsung. Intel grew revenues 12% quarter over quarter when they had guided for flat revenues. And recently, Intel upgraded their Q3 guidance significantly, and Dell has indicated a good back-to-school season, at least for PCs. Qualcomm announced that their cell phone chip sales grew an outstanding 36% sequentially, and Samsung produced a strong 30% growth in dollar terms. Memory, primarily DRAM, is doing much better and provided another solid indication that the PC industry is improving. And so the bottom line after all companies were counted was that Q2 09 grew a record 17% quarter over quarter. Despite that, questions remained. Was the strong growth entirely due to inventory replenishment, or was it end user demand returning? And will the growth come out of Q3 and Q4 of 09? Another key question relates to future demand by vertical market, and I'll outline some of our thoughts in the next few slides. So as a result of the improved conditions we're seeing, we've revised our 2009 semiconductor forecast to a 17% revenue decline from a 22.4% decline in the previous quarter's update, and that amounts to a $13.7 billion increase in 2009 revenues. This slide breaks down the major areas where the $13.7 billion increase came from by application and device. The table on the left shows that the improvement to our forecast for PCs and cell phones accounted for close to 60% of the upside to our forecast, and LCD TV accounted for another 15% of that delta. The table on the right shows that most of the $13.7 billion showed up in three main device types: ASSPs, which were mainly for the top three applications, microprocessors for PCs, and memory accounted for a large proportion of the increase. The graph in the center of this slide shows our PC production forecast by desktop, mobile, and mini notebook categories. The axis on the left shows millions of units. The only product category that shows significant growth in 2009 is mini notebooks, with full-featured mobile PCs almost flat and desktops declining strongly. Mini notebooks are poor substitutes for full-featured PCs as a primary PC. However, consumers are clearly bargain hunting, and a mini notebook may help postpone investments into a more useful but expensive laptop. So we expect that mini notebooks will have a stronger additive effect on the forecast once the economy recovers, as these machines take on the role of companion PCs for when you're on the move. Now, looking at this quarter's forecast update, due to the improved sales expectations in the PC end markets, we've increased the 2009 production forecast in the current update to 286 million units, which is a 1.8% decline from 2008. And that's a significant improvement from the 10.7% decline which we had forecast last quarter. The excess inventory situation, which primarily affected semiconductor components rather than PCs themselves, was largely brought under control in Q2, and the sequential strength displayed by Intel in Q2 restored processor inventory back up close to sell-through rates. Manufacturers have been offering concessions on prices, which have helped sustain volumes. The PC ASP reductions that were passed on to consumers in the first half of 2009 were mainly due to cheaper component prices enabled by inventory and reduced demand. But moving into the second half of 2009, PC vendors have now cost-optimized their product portfolios and will have a wider range of models at the low end for back-to-school and Christmas shoppers. And given the low prices, lower prices, unit demand for the remainder of the year is expected to be healthy, and this is corroborated by upstream checks at the foundries and packaging companies who are reporting strong orders from the PC market. Moving into 2010, unit production growth is 11.4%, which is not particularly strong given the trough we're coming out of in 2009. In 2010, we expect some respite on the ASP front as consumer spending power begins to recover and memory prices firm. On the enterprise side, however, we're expecting a cautious recovery, and the net impact is to spread the recovery over 2010 and 2011. And from 2011 onward, we expect prices to come under renewed pressure as low-cost PCs fulfill the needs of an increasingly large share of the consumer market. Now, the main graph on this slide shows mobile phone unit production by phone type through 2013. And Q1 marked the bottom in terms of unit production, and the strength reported in Q2 has led us to raise the production forecast to an 8% decline for 2009. The light blue data along the bottom shows the emergence of the smartphone category as the largest mobile phone segment in unit terms by 2013, and the increase is even more significant in dollar terms. In unit terms, it also shows that the basic phone maintains its appeal as features are added and emerging markets continue to add subscribers. And with the recovery from the inventory correction in mobile phone semiconductors that occurred in Q4 of 08 and Q1 of 09, the Q2 ASIC and ASSP results that we track came in significantly better than expected, with 26.6% sequential growth. Qualcomm had the strongest results and likely pulled in some business from the third quarter, while Broadcom benefited from wireless connectivity and the volume ramp of its baseband products. MediaTek posted gains at the low end as the Chinese market held up well due to the mobile build-out and incentive programs there, and Infineon saw strength from ties to vendors that are doing well. So putting this all together, I'll call your attention to the semiconductor revenue growth chart in the blue band at the top of the slide. Based on the very strong Q2, we're now saying that semiconductor sales in 2009 will only decline 13.7% versus the 21.3% that we had forecast last quarter. And the improvement was mainly in the basic and smartphones, with the smartphone portion of the forecast showing the largest improvement. And by 2013, smartphones will represent over 60% of semiconductor sales into cell phones. This graph shows LCD TV unit production through 2013. In the current forecast, we've revised the 2009 unit production to an 18% increase from a 15% decrease for the year due to surprising consumer strength, particularly in China. Government incentives played a significant role. As a result of the economic downturn, a subsidy program for electronic purchases by rural residents was extended throughout China from February 2009. With the limited rural incomes, it's panels in the 33-inch range and below which are seeing the highest volumes. So unlike earlier years where there was a push to larger screen sizes, this year the unit growth was sustained through a shift to smaller screens, and this effect was magnified in particular by the successful stimulus program in China. And as a result, despite the strong unit growth, semiconductor revenue for LCD TVs will only grow 4.3% this year due to the downward shift in ASP. Now, after summarizing all the major drivers, let's turn our attention to the big picture forecast. The graph shows total worldwide semiconductor sales in billions of dollars with the previous four-quarter forecasts shown. The numbers in gray running just above the x-axis shows the Q2 forecast, and on top of the bars, we have the updated Q3 numbers. The Q3 profile is shown in orange, and I'll make several points regarding this chart. Reiterate that 2009 growth has improved 5.4 percentage points from our Q2 forecast, going from minus 22.4% in Q2 to minus 17% in our Q3 update. Governments took action quickly and extensively to avoid a more severe recession, and consumer behavior and market conditions show that it's working. For example, the China stimulus package has worked very well to boost short-term demand in a number of areas. The electronic unit production changes that had the strongest impact on the semiconductor forecast were in four areas: PCs, cell phones, LCD TVs, and automotive. And the strongest performing device category in 2009 will be NAND flash, with revenue growth of 4.7%. 2010 percentage growth is about the same as last quarter's forecast, but off a larger 2009 base. So we're now looking at returning to peak 2007 levels by 2012, or 5 years from peak to peak, and the five-year CAGR is now at 2.4% per year. So in summary, the strong turnaround in Q2 in semi-revenues has accelerated the pace of the recovery, although we're still cautious in the medium term due to expectations of moderate economic growth. With that, I'll turn it over to Bob.
Thank you, Peter. So now we're going to take a look at the industry supply side fundamentals and how they affect the outlook for semiconductor equipment. Slide 14 shows the Gartner Semiconductor Inventory Index, which depicts the relative semiconductor inventories for the entire supply chain. The index for each quarter is calculated based on the end-of-quarter financial results of all the companies represented and compared with projections for the coming quarter. At this time, the latest hard data we have is from the second quarter financials. Now, the index has dropped dramatically and is down into the caution range, which is a huge improvement over where it was a few quarters ago. And this reflects the greatly improved inventory management practices currently in place throughout the industry. If you just compare the speed at which the index recovered with the prior recession in 2001, shown at the left of the graph, you can see that we're getting back into the proper operating range much, much faster. And so looking forward, we expect that the index will continue to drop in the third quarter as increasing device revenue brings remaining inventories to appropriate levels. Now, the question is, how has this happened? And the next slide looks at the main components of the inventory index and shows the response to plunging demand last year. Here we have in blue is the percentage change of inventory, and the red is the percentage change of the revenue. So the inventories actually started to contract in the third quarter, even as we had a slight increase in revenues. While the inventories declined dramatically in the fourth quarter of last year in the first quarter of 2009, revenues dropped even further. And this is what led to the inventory index spiking, which we saw on the prior slide. However, inventories are continuing to decline in the second quarter, even as revenues soared. So the net effect of this is that excess inventories did not appear to be a factor which will slow down the recovery in this cycle, which is very encouraging news. Move to the next slide, 16. Capital spending will decline by 48% in 2009, driven by a continuation of the drastic reductions in memory spending, which were long overdue, and overall responses to the economic crisis throughout the rest of the industry. For this year, we anticipate that most new capacity projects will be delayed, and that a higher than usual percentage of investment will go to technology advances rather than new capacity. Looking forward, we see growth returning in 2010, 11, and 12 with increases of 34%, 40%, and 17% respectively. But by 2012, capital spending will return to a level slightly above that of 2008, but will still be below the 2004-2007 levels. As you can see, we anticipate another cyclical spending downturn in 2013. Move to the next slide, please, Dean. Now, this slide shows the capital spending for major device categories. Capital spending for logic and mixed signal will lead the recovery, with memory lagging as the excess capacity from prior years are digested. Memory spending will catch up in 2012 before another oversupply cycle begins, driving memory spending down again in 2013. This graph shows how memory spending is still the responsible party for the next industry cycle. Spending on logic and mixed signal products is expected to increase steadily throughout the forecast period, but it's the drop in memory in 2013 that will bring the next downturn. So if we look memory a little more closely, slide 18 shows the breakout of the major components of memory spending, DRAM and NAND flash. DRAM is still the largest spending category, but spending on NAND is slowly closing the gap. For 2009, NAND spending is roughly 56% of DRAM. This will increase to 65% by 2013. However, even though memory spending will increase significantly in percentage terms during the next 5 years, it will not come close to the levels seen in the 2006 and 2007 timeframe, levels which I might mention which led to huge oversupply conditions and a absolute the deterioration in the memory markets long before the economic crash hit us. So the next slide, our top 20, are shown on slide 19. Intel, once again, returns to the number one spot in terms of capital spending, as Samsung reduces its spending in light of memory market softness. TSMC is the only one of the top 20 to markedly increase expending plans from last year. TSMC recently announced an increase in its 2009 CapEx plans to focus on advanced technology capacity. GlobalFoundries is a new addition to the top 20, having spun off from AMD earlier this year, and they are focused on filling out their fabs in Dresden, Germany, and have broken ground in a new fab in Malta, New York. In another interesting development, which I'm sure Kay Yang will tell us more about, ATIC of Abu Dhabi just announced its acquisition of Chartered and their intention to combine Chartered with GlobalFoundries. In terms of CapEx, the combination would jump them above Toshiba into the third rank for 2009. Our projections for utilization are shown on slide 20. Utilization rates bottomed in Q1 of 09 in the mid-50% range and are starting back upwards led by new orders in the semi-sector. We expect overall utilization rates to stay below the levels of the last few years through 2010. But in contrast, leading-edge utilization rates will go above the 90% level by the middle of next year, providing the needed impetus for new investments and advanced capacity. Industry profitability was hit hard by the downturn, with memory leading the way in 2008. We expect the overall industry to remain in a loss condition through 2009. Profitability should return to the industry in 2010, led by improvements in the non-memory and outsourcing segments. Memory, in contrast, will not turn a profit until 2011, and then it will be marginal at best. The reason is that the memory industry has to digest high depreciation levels resulting from the capital spending binge of 2005 to 2007. In 2009, for example, high depreciation adds more than 25% to the fully absorbed costs compared to 2007, the result of low sales combined with high depreciation in absolute terms. We expect the non-memory and outsourcing segments to return to robust profitability by the 2011 to 2013 timeframe. In contrast, memory will enjoy 1 year of profits before the next oversupply condition drops revenue and pulls them into a loss again. In terms of net cash flow, the flows illustrate the dramatic difference between the memory sectors and everyone else. Non-memory manufacturers, including both IDMs and fabless companies, will quickly return to strong positive cash flow positions. The outsourcing segments, foundry and SATS companies, will also generate significant cash as more IDMs adopt a fab or asset light strategy and move some of their manufacturing into the fabless foundry business model, which incidentally is the consistently most profitable of the overall semiconductor business models. Memory, on the other hand, will still have trouble generating sufficient cash to fund its projected capital investments. The reason for this prediction is the memory industry is still showing weak pricing in spite of current ASP increases, and its overall profitability is dragged down by high levels of appreciation from prior years, the prior year's excess capital spending. However, it is worth noting that memory's cash flow position for the 2009 to 2013 period is significantly better than it was in the prior five-year period from 2004 to 2008. So to summarize our supply-side fundamentals, inventories are improving and will not be a drag on the recovery as growth returns to the semiconductor industry. CapEx will begin to recover in the second half of 2009 as the overall economy starts to improve and a bit more certainty appears about the immediate future. New capacity buys will start in 2010 as the recovery gathers momentum. Profitability and cash flows will improve after 2009, although memory still remains in a perilous cash flow position, which may prove troublesome. In contrast, the non-memory cash flows show the basic financial strength of the industry. So moving to our equipment forecast on slide 23, our latest forecast for all capital equipment, along with the past three forecasts, is shown here. In contrast to prior quarters, we see little change in the near term from our last forecast in June. 2009 will be a bit weaker than we had projected, and 2010 should be a bit stronger. This is more of a timing issue, as Dean mentioned, than a shift in overall forecast demand for the next couple of years. Looking forward, it is now looking like the overall recovery will be stronger than we had previously anticipated, with increases over the last forecasts projected for 2011, 12, and 13. Finally, we see the next downturn hitting in 2013, driven by a return to an oversupply condition in memory. We do not see non-memory spending dropping in 2013, but the increases in these areas will not be sufficient to counteract the projected decline in the memory sectors. Our quarterly alternative scenarios are shown on slide 25. Q2 was the bottom, as shown by all of our alternatives. We anticipate a growing level of quarterly sales from here on out through Q1 of 2010, which is sparked by a 43% quarter-on-quarter growth in Q3 in our most likely scenario, followed by an additional 23% jump in Q4 of this year. Q2 of next year will likely show normal seasonal weakness, but we anticipate that we will then return to quarter-on-quarter growth. While the annual numbers still show the effects of spending cuts back through 2009, growth is returning on a quarterly basis and will continue with normal seasonal variations for the next few years. Overall, the quarterlies provide a much more palatable viewpoint of the immediate future as growth returns throughout the industry. On an annual level, all three scenarios show 2010 growth in excess of 25%. I will now turn to Kayang Tan, who will present the foundry outlook. Kayang?
Thank you, Bob. Let's now turn our attention to slide 27 and review the current status of the foundry market. After registering an astounding growth rate of 81.5% in the second quarter, the foundry market revenues is expected to increase further by another 17.5% in 3Q09. The current demand upbeat is not just coming from inventory restocking, but also from new product launches, especially in the leading edge space as well. While the China stimulus program has been a key catalyst of growth in the initial stage of recovery, the back-to-school sales and preparing inventories for Christmas buying season are keeping the foundry going until 3Q09. Orders are thereafter expected to slow down slightly in the fourth quarter, before the market plummets further in the usual first quarter seasonal slow next year. As business momentum continues to improve, foundry fab utilization rate is expected to peak at 78.5% in the third quarter, after rebounding sharply from a rock bottom of 33% in first quarter 09 to 68% in second quarter 09. Demand for communication and the PC segment continue to exhibit robust strength as orders from 3G handset, baseband, chipset, and GPU surged vigorously throughout the second and the third quarters. Leading edge utilization rate that was hit hardest during the downturn recovered and soared from 28% in the first quarter 09 to as high as 85% in the second quarter 09. Our recent check on the market revealed that most of 12-inch fab will remain tight with no significant sign of slowdown in the second half of this year. As order for the advanced technology strengthened in anticipation of the 45-nanometer ramp, we now expect the leading edge utilization rate to hit as high as 94% in third quarter 09. Although many of the 12-inch fab are now mostly fully filled up, demand for mainstream and lagging edge technology still appear relatively lackluster in comparison. We estimate that fab capacity will grow by 7.9% this year, whereas wafer shipment to decline by 13.4%, pushing the overall annual utilization rate to 64% in 2009. Moving to slide 28. Despite the robust demand uptake seen in the second and third quarter, the foundry market is still expected to fall by 16% in 2009 due to the unprecedented sharp decline registered in the first quarter of the year. From an annual basis, Gartner estimates the foundry sales revenue to plummet to $18.8 billion in 2009, down from the $22.5 billion in 2008. Although the foundry industry has had its first bound since March, the market sentiment has nonetheless remained cynical on whether such renewed strength and optimism will be sustainable amidst the precarious global economic uncertainties. Orders for the third quarter are pretty much now in the bag. The booking pattern outlook appears to be trending downward slightly in the fourth quarter as customers trim down their orders and exercise greater caution in their inventory management amidst the highly volatile and uncertain market. In fact, there has been increasing concern over customer double ordering that will result to excessive rapid inventory rebuild if the anticipated sell-through in the end market might not materialize by year-end. Should this happen, we might see a steeper correction dip thereafter in the first quarter of 2010. Depending on the macroeconomic pictures, any intermediate changes within the balance of a supply and demand equilibrium could still easily result in either of our two alternative forecast scenarios. Depending on the market fundamental strength and catalyst, rush orders coming in October and early November could easily push up our 2009 forecast to 14.4% decline, as shown in the alternative one scenario. In contrast, any production cutback as a result of rapid global economic deterioration in the fourth quarter could easily lower down our forecast to 18.4% decline in 2009 this year. Finally, the table on the left on slide 29 shows the foundry quarterly capital expenditure and the top player spending pattern from year 2007 to 2009, whereas the chart on the right display is annual capital intensity trends. The higher the capital intensity, for example, the higher the ratio of the capex to the wafer sales revenue, the lower the efficiency of the capital investment. Foundry total spending in the first half of 2009 was curbed at $1.1 billion, down 44% sequentially from the second half of 2008, or minus 61% when compared on a year-on-year basis to the first half of 2008. With 12-inch fab utilization rate running mostly full by middle of this year, many foundry had since revised their spending forecast upward for 2009. We thus estimate that foundry capital expenditure will reach $4.77 billion in 2009, down just 0.6% from 2008, despite the drastic slowdown. Foundry spending in the second half is expected to increase by 2.3 times more than what was spent in the first half of this year. Take for instance, although TSMC has increased its 2009 capex by as much as 53% from its initial guided $1.5 billion to $2.3 billion, the company had only spent $390 million, or just 17%, in the first half of this year. Majority of spending will instead be focused on advanced technology buy in the second half as the 40 and 45 nanometer begin to ramp and pilot lines for 32 and 28 are ready. With the latest upward revision, foundry spending is now expected to contribute to 21% of the total semiconductor capex this year, when compared to just 11% last year. Foundry capital intensity as a result will also shoot up from 21.4% in 2008 to 25.3% in 2009. And now, for a look at what's happening at the back-end picture, Mark Stromberg. Mark.
Thanks, Kay Young. I'll begin by looking at the utilization picture for our packaging and assembly and test processes. The utilization rates began falling in Q3 of 2008 as market conditions rapidly deteriorated. The decline accelerated as 2008 ended and hit a hard bottom in Q1 of this year. The utilization index bottomed around 40% in Q1, with leading-edge processes about 5% higher. Q2 saw a nice recovery to just under 60%, with a similar increase expected for the current quarter. Leading-edge processes are currently approaching 80% utilization, though some manufacturers have stated that some of their lines are now running well above 80%. For next year, rates should gradually increase and end 2010 around the 85% mark. Now turning to the SAS revenue picture. The first quarter of 2009 resulted in a decline of minus 28.5% for the SAS market, as the market bottomed in the January-February timeframe. For the second quarter, the industry realized a nearly 50% quarterly growth rate as demand returned after the sizable inventory burn-off from the previous two quarters. The second half of 2009 will continue to realize growth, but at a slower rate, with 16% growth in Q3 and 3.4% growth in the final quarter of this year. For 2009, the SaaS market will decline by just under 10%, but this is a substantial improvement over our minus 18.6% decline forecasted in Q2. For 2010, a return to solid growth is expected as the market should increase better than 20%. And now looking at the back-end equipment market forecast and scenarios. From the middle of last year through Q1 of 2009, the back-end equipment markets realized their most difficult conditions in the modern history of the semiconductor industry. For 2009, the back-end equipment markets will decline about 40%. This will be the third consecutive year of back-end equipment sales declines. For 2010, strong growth of more than 40% is expected, but given the low economic visibility, the actual growth scenarios have an historically broad range. Next year does hold a potential for a supercycle scenario of about 60% growth if utilizations become tight early next year and packaging and test demand, particularly for the DDR3 memory ramp, is accelerated. Pilot production in 2010 for three silicon via processing of memory and advanced logic will also give some upside potential to the market. And now I'll turn it back to Dean for some final comments.
Thank you, Mark. As we look at slide 34, the worldwide macroeconomy is displaying signs of improvement. The discussion has turned to the shape and strength of the recovery as opposed to how long the depression will last. The spending that results from the economic improvement will drive the semiconductor and equipment markets as well. The outsourcing segments have seen significant improvement, has been seen by the rapid growth in their utilization. Spending is accelerating rapidly for the remainder of 2009. The final numbers for 2009 will be dependent for the equipment side upon when revenue is recognized. Equipment companies with strong relationships with Intel and TSMC will benefit in 2009 and 2010. As Bob pointed out, memory companies will begin to increase spending in 2010 as demand returns to that market. So the question we asked at the beginning, is the growth sustainable? Based upon the improving economy and the growing demand for semiconductors, it appears that it is. Gartner's forecasting for three solid years of growth, beginning in the second half of 2009 and ending in 2013. So for a time, equipment vendors hopefully will be able to make some money and have successful business plans. As we look at slide 35, we have an upcoming local briefing that will be on October 15th, where we will discuss some of the items that we talked about today and talk about post-recession fundamentals, how to manage and work your business as we come out of this downturn and go forward. We would like to thank you for listening today, and now we will open the call for questions. Operator?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And your first question comes from the line of Clement Pauza.
Hello, I have a couple of questions. The first one has to do with the hard copy slides I got, the slide that's titled Industry Profitability Recovers. The legend says that it's net cash flow, dollars million, but I don't think that's correct. Could you tell me what the correct legend is?
Okay, this is Bob.
Yeah.
Let me just pull this one up here. Hang on. Yeah, that should be
I would speculate because the next slide also is net cash flow, which I believe is correct. I suspect this may be income, but I don't know.
That is income.
Net income, I assume.
Net income. Yeah, that's net income.
All right.
Apologies
okay.
on that. Good catch.
Okay, just a second. Let me note that. All right. The next question, a little out of order, relative to the presentation about the SATS companies. What were the SATS revenues for 2008, and what is projected for 2009? And more importantly, what percentage of total package assembly and test is the SATS now occupy? I think SATS revenue for 2008 was 20.1, but I can't remember.
Yeah, that is what it was. It was 20.1 billion.
Right.
And for 2009, we're projecting at this point it's basically 18.1 billion. And with the recovery of 20% expected for 2010, it would go to 21.8, just under 21.8.
Okay, then the next question relative to that is either what percentage is that of total semiconductor package assembly and test, or what was total semiconductor package assembly and test?
On that, I don't have the exact percentage here. Jim Walker may want to comment on this as well if he is still on the line. But we were coming in, I believe, somewhere it was around 43% or so in 44% in the most recent years of the total.
Yeah, okay. Since Jim didn't speak up, I'm assuming he's not on the line.
Yeah, I may just need to follow up with an email with you on that, but it was right in that percentage, kind of the mid 40% range.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. Okay.
Okay.
And then on the foundry presentation, I just couldn't catch it fast enough. I believe he told us what the foundry revenues were for 08, 09, and 010, but I couldn't write them down fast enough. Do you have those?
Hey, Yang, do you have the foundry revenues?
Sure. Yeah, let me just pull up some data so that you can actually refer from there on.
Well, I'm looking at the hard copy, so I'm not. You're going to have to tell me. I'm sorry.
Okay. What we have is that for 2008, foundry revenue was actually at 22.5 billion.
Okay.
In 2009, we are projecting that there will be a 16% decline, bringing down the revenue to 18.8 billion.
Okay.
And in 2010, we expect the foundry industry to outpace the general semiconductor market by growing at 17.8%, reaching a revenue of 22.2 billion.
22.2?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
You're most welcome.
Dean, can I quickly just speak up for a moment? I did get an input here from one of our analysts that for 2008, the SATs made up 44.1% of the total packaging and test processes, and that's actually up over a 10-year period from 22% in 1998.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we have no questions at this time.
We've had one come in online, and I think this is for Kay Yang. And Kay Yang, what are the implications of the ATCI and Chartered merger on the foundry segment?
Oh, yeah, I think this was actually a pretty hot topic for this week itself. And we believe that the two companies, when merged, will prove to be a formidable threat to TSMC, particularly in the leading edge space. The acquisition cell will enable ATIC to muscle into the contract chip making business model more efficiently, as the two companies can kind of leverage and draw on each other's strength and expertise. For instance, with a deeper pocket and the ability to tap into the MPU market, Chartered now sees greater opportunity to bring up its outsourcing leadership skill to the next level. Whereas on the other hand, GlobalFoundries, apart from its own exclusive AMD partner and the recent STM microelectronics team up, would have easily gained through Chartered a broader set of clients there, such as Broadcom, Qualcomm, and Texas Instruments.
Okay, thank you, Kay Yang. Another question we had come up, and this is for Mark, is what's going to be the impact of TSV on the packaging space? And with the recent announcement by Elpida, is this market posed to explode?
Thanks, Dean. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's posed to explode, but with the announcement from Elpida that that we saw in the news here over the last couple of days, it probably does bring up our time frame a little bit. Previously, we were looking at more of a pilot production beginning in the in more of the second half of next year. That'll probably now come into the earlier parts of 2010. Of course, given issues such as cost and so forth, it will take some time for it to be fully implemented. It probably does kind of pull in our schedule by at least a quarter, maybe as much as two quarters.
Okay, thank you. And then there's one more for Bob that says, Bob, can you speculate on the billion-dollar club for 2010 with respect to CapEx? Who may jump up into the who may spend $1 billion in CapEx? And will memory spending, how significantly will memory spending increase?
Well, you know, on that one, Dean, I was looking at the ones here. You know, on the billion-dollar club this year, we have four firm members, Intel, Samsung, TSMC, and Toshiba. And then if you look at the combination of GlobalFoundries and Chartered, assuming that they will pick up, you know, that would put them as a member of the billion-dollar club, too. Looking out to next year, you know, I could see those same guys basically being spending over $1 billion. And about the only one that may creep up into that level is Hynix. The rest of these people, even with significant percentage jumps in their spending, are still going to be below $1 billion. So we may have a five- or a six-member billion-dollar club next year, but probably not much more than that. Even if you look at a significant increase in memory spending, and we're looking at significant percentage increases, it still is not going to be enough to drive a lot of the memory players back into the billion-dollar range, with the exception of Samsung, Toshiba, and possibly Hynix. And you know, actually, I personally think this is a good thing, because the memory people still have to digest the spending binge that they had a few years back, and have to learn how to keep their capacity in line with profitable pricing.
All right, great. Thank you. Operator, did any other questions pop up in the queue?
We have no questions.
All right. Then we would like to thank you very much for your attention and joining with us today. For our clients, a data blast will go out hopefully in the next 24 hours with links to the data online that you can then pour over the numbers in greater detail. Thank you very much for attending today. And, Operator, I'll turn it over to you to disconnect us all.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.